Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is Season 7 of Better Let Me Tell You.
Need someone to hold me close. Na 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 na.
Wait, I know this song. Houdini.
No, it's not.
No, Training Season.
Yes.
Okay.
It's Training Season's over.
Training Season. Yes, yes, yes.
By the beautiful,
the sensual,
seductive
Dua superstar.
Lipa. She's somebody who's like fine. That word is not used anymore.
No, people don't use that.
People
word
don't
anymore.
Say, oh, they're She's fine. She's fine. He's fine. Nobody says that anymore. She's Dua Lipa's as perfect as they come.
Yeah.
Just saying.
She probably like hates hamsters or something.
I told you, she must be a horrible human being because it's not fair that somebody is so talented and strikingly beautiful without having a flaw.
You know, maybe she's had really bad BO.
Anyway, with that note, welcome everybody to episode 288.
You did it, Blanche.
You know, the other day I said 285 and it was wrong, actually.
Yeah, it was 287.
And you were like,
I was
oh
sure, yeah, you're right.
And you were wrong. And it's funny because when I was listening to it the next day, Tristan's like, you said the wrong episode. I'm like, thanks. Thanks.
In his defense, it was the first thing you said, so I get it.
So welcome everybody to this week's episode of Pero Let Me Tell You.
¿Cómo está todo el mundo? Everybody's good. You know, we're in March already. The beginning of the year,
la feria está casi aquí.
You know, ahorita people are getting their tax refunds. You know,
I don't get a tax refund.
You don't get a tax refund.
I'm self-employed.
Really?
No, I don't get a tax refund. I'm self-employed.
But even now, you're not self-employed.
I am self-employed.
Oh.
I've never stopped being self-employed.
I'm very confused about the tax
situation. The last time I got a W-2 form was when I worked in Big Law.
I think you were going to say Big Lots. And I was like, you never worked at Big Lots.
No. Big Law, like firm. Like Big Law firm.
Okay. Big Law firm. Big
no,
Law.
I've when you work off a 1099, I mean, unless it's you have like losses that your business lost money. You generally don't get a refund, or if you do, it's very little.
It's like $10.
Yeah, it's very little. Like
That's okay. Soon that'll change once Ping Pong Pollo is raking in billions.
Well, when it's raking in billions, we're still not going to get money back.
But we'll be a small business. We'll figure out some type of loophole somewhere.
Loophole grants. Yeah. Small business. See, everybody's always talking about like, oh, you have small business grants and small business this and small business that. Where are they?
Okay. Every time I've looked up a small business grant for us, there's always like... It's like 10 things, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, we qualify. And it's like always the last three is always like, you know, you have to be a woman. It's like, okay, well, no. You know, born on like the third Tuesday of 1945. Right. Right. Yeah. And it's like, you know.
Yeah. It's training season's over.
Or grant season.
So anyway. Actually, you know what? Speaking of Dua Lipa, she gave a hell of a performance at the Brit Awards this past week.
I have not seen her performance yet.
I saw the Brit Awards.
Kylie's performance.
Kylie's performance was so Kylie.
It was. And I mean that in the best way possible.
That
was such a big stage.
Yeah, it was. So for those of you who don't know, the Brit Awards is like the UK's version of the Grammys. Mm-hmm. It's like a very, very prestigious music show. Yeah. And I think since I was in high school, I've always watched the Brit Awards. They used to air them.
Did they?
Yes. I have the Brit Awards recorded from like 1993, 1994. Oh, wow. Yeah. On VHS. They used to air them on ABC like at 1 a.m. on a Saturday.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Because obviously it's British music. So that's how I got to know a lot of British singers. Remember, before the internet, I was Mr. Import Section.
This is true, you were.
I knew all this British music because in part of the Brit Awards. So I discovered a lot of music when I was like in high school and all that, like British music or music mm-hmm. that they would play in England that they wouldn't play here. That I discovered because of the Brit Awards. So this year, have you heard of Ray?
So I hadn't until the Brit Awards.
Right. So I knew that song, Escapism.
If I hear it, I probably know it.
But yeah, I don't know that song. But she's this British singer, and she has a song called Escapism that it sort of did okay here. Like, it actually did chart in the U.S., but it didn't do much. She did do press here last year. Okay. Like, she went on Jimmy Fallon, and she went on a bunch of stuff.
But she didn't have Rita Ora's guy.
But, no, clearly not. But she won big at the Brit Awards, and I have to tell you, I downloaded her album, and it's phenomenal.
Oh, really?
Like, phenomenal. Like, okay, check it out. She has a great voice, and she has a bit of like she has a style of like old R&B, but she also has a little bit of dance music, so it's like a weird it's a couple of genres that you wouldn't generally put together. Mm-hmm. But she's great, and she has a great voice, and she like swept the Brit Awards.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm downloading this album. I know when you think Brit Awards, what you think of?
Well, the girls, yeah. Clearly.
Well, tell our listeners who the girls.
Oh, well, yes, the girl. Well, for those of you who haven't caught the Spice Girls, of course, the iconic. That's where the Union Jack dress made its debut
at the Brit Awards.
Yeah, at the Brit Awards.
Yeah.
And then it's also where Jerry, as a solo artist, came out from between a pair of woman's gigantic legs.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, she did. That was the same year. So she came out as a solo artist. She performed at the Brits. I think she did Bag It Up. And it was these two like giant like inflatable legs of a woman. And she basically came out of like the birth canal.
Right. She's so different now.
Yeah.
She's such a
lady of the manor.
So anyway.
Bordering on Santa.
The Brit Awards. I mean, I've always liked British music. I actually think I like British music a little bit more than American music, but that's just me wanting to be different. There's that.
Well, I'm not going to debate you on that one because I do too. So
right. Mm-hmm. Right. But like especially when we were like in high school and in college, that I had all these songs and all these imports. Like, yeah, I'm
surprised that Virgin Megastore went out of business based on your purchases alone.
Of imports.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, I was so into like British music. I was especially into like a lot of like these alternative. I mean, I was into Britpop. Like, let's not, pretend that I wasn't. But I was also into like these like a lot of these like alternative British bands. Like the Manic
Street Preachers?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like really got into all of that, and I paid a lot of money in the imports.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how they closed, because between you and I, they should have been in business for a couple more years.
And regarding Kylie Minogue, I mean, I always say this. I stopped liking Kylie Minogue when everybody here started liking her, because I started liking Kylie Minogue when I was like in I don't know, seventh grade. And this was like early 90s. Yeah. And I would buy her albums. I would buy her albums in the import section. Remember when I would tell you, oh, listen to the Her.
Yeah, like, you're the reason that I got into her.
Right, because nobody knew who she was.
The Better the Devil You Know album. Yeah. I don't forget.
Rhythm of Love. Nobody here knew who she was, yeah. And I liked her. And then when Can't Get You Out of My Head came out, and then everybody all of a sudden started liking Kylie Minogue, I'm like, yeah, I'm done.
Like, yeah.
Done.
I've moved on. There's a rumor now that she's might tour the US mm-hmm. after Vegas, and I'm excited. I'll totally go see her, but at the same time I'm like, the only problem with her tour in the US is that, you know, her focus is going to be very like back catalog heavy, mm-hmm. right? Like, or recent catalog heavy, and it's like, no, but I want like Impossible Princess, mm-hmm. I want, you know, Light Years, I want, like, give me that version of Kylie. Yeah, she's good at medleys, so maybe we'll get them. But yeah,
so anyway, speaking of parties,
okay, so that's a great transition.
We're in March.
Yes, sir.
Spring break.
Yes.
And woo-hoo, I mean, we can't be a Miami-based podcast without talking about the elephant in the room.
This is true.
Which is spring break. So for those of you who listen to us, who are wonderful listeners, not from Miami, maybe you didn't grow up here, or you're not as familiar with Miami. So we've been having a spring break problem for, like, I would say about 10 years.
Estimated, yeah.
You know, spring breakers, as we know, especially here in Florida, whether it's Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Panama mm-hmm. City, yeah. The Panhandle, you know, they cause ruckus. They're in.
It's partying got out of hand.
Yes, yeah. And it always. You know, things don't end well. Things don't end well. Así es como pasan las cosas. And we've known this. I mean, this is tale as old as time. This is around the country. It's sort of like, I guess, an American tradition. Yeah. You go be bad during spring break. But here in Miami, in the last, I would say, 10 years, it's gotten out of hand. And yeah. It seems that every year it's worse and worse and worse. And it's a sea of people that come onto South Beach. And the thing, again, about South Beach or Miami Beach, for those of you who maybe aren't as familiar with it, is that, yes, it's where people vacation. Oh, you know, I live where you vacation, but it's also home to a lot of people. Yeah. And Miami Beach is an island. It's an archipelago, actually. So it's an island that it has only three bridges in and three bridges that's out. All right. So it's also a logistical nightmare. But in addition to that, and most importantly, things have gone out of hand. There is a ton of crime. Yeah. There's shooting. There's sexual abuse. There's just people being belligerent. People just... And again, it's not like people having fun and getting out of hand, right, and all that.
We're not talking about the drunk girl vomiting on the corner.
This is like out of hand. Like, people literally drunk, like walking in the middle of an intersection. Ocean Drive.
Traffic's a standstill.
People shooting each other. Yeah. People, like, robberies, you know, businesses being damaged. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. So this year, Miami Beach what I want to talk about. So this year for spring break, this year for spring break, Miami Beach did a campaign, a social media campaign and a few commercials talking about a breakup. And in the commercial, the breakup is like, it's not me, it's you. And, you have different people, you know, supposedly from Miami Beach talking about like the problems that we've had and keep saying like, you're the problem. Don't come to Miami Beach. So what I wanted to ask, you know, to our listeners and to the people who are familiar with this, and you especially, you have a background in marketing and advertising, is, do you think that this campaign that Miami Beach has done to kind of keep spring, tell people that come here for spring break, like, hey, we're not having it this year, don't come, do you think that that's effective, or you're only enticing people to be more rebellious and come to Miami Beach and cause some havoc?
So I think here's a basic rule of advertising that I'll never forget. When I was in university, I had a professor who basically said, look, advertising is effective, advertising works, but advertising is not going to convince somebody to do something that they just are not going to do. So it's like, for instance, if you do not like Dr. Pepper It does not matter how many ads of Dr. Pepper you watch. It doesn't matter if you think they're great. It doesn't matter how much exposure. You're not going to drink Dr. Pepper.
I'm not drinking
right?
Dr. Pepper.
I'm not drinking Dr. Pepper, right? So it's only effective to a point, mm-hmm. right? So I will say, I think that there are probably people, and again, listeners, we'll probably wind up reposting the video on our Instagram, but you know, they don't just say, and I thought the video was actually very cleverly done. They don't just say, like, you know, don't come. They also go into the details of, you know, all the police presence, that the parking lots are going to be closed. So they do detail, like, what you're going to encounter if you do come, that will essentially prevent you from having fun. So mm-hmm. it's not just a, we don't want you here, don't come. It's, we don't want you here, don't come. But if you do come, if you do show up, this is what you're going to find, and it's not going to be the fun environment that you're thinking of. With that said, I think that if there are people out there who are just like, well, you know what, it's my spring break and I paid for this a while back, mm-hmm. because this whole thing, I mean, they've been talking about it, but I think the crackdown happened within maybe the last 4 weeks, mm-hmm. give or take. A lot of people plan their trips a lot more in advance. Mm-hmm. So I think that you are still going to see people coming to South Beach, Miami Beach, for spring break. I just do wonder what that's going to look like because of the heightened police presence, because of, and I love, the one that I told you I had an issue with is the closing of the garages. Mm-hmm. They close all the public parking. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what if you're a local who wants to go to the beach? Like, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, you can't. Also, most people who come down here probably don't rent a car and use Uber. So that's not really mm-hmm. resolving the problem. I don't know that it's a deterrent. In and of itself, again, I think because they released it so close to spring break, when people probably already have their plans made, I don't know. I will say, I think this year will determine next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because whoever shows up this year may go back to their campuses and be like, don't go to Miami Beach, book it. It's not fun like it used to be.
But I feel that this year they've taken a really proactive stance about it in terms of social media.
I love the campaign.
But I think that they've been sort of messaging this for a while, that, you know, you're going to encounter either police presence or there's going to be a curfew.
It's not a good time, like usual.
This has been going on for a few years now, because it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And look, there was a time that I was, not too long ago, that I was sort of like, you know, just let people have their fun. Yes, there's always going to be some riffraffs and some people that get out of hand. You know, stop picking on these people. You know, there's also a racial element to it, you know.
Which I did think was very clever, by the way, of the ad.
Yeah,
no. Because the ad was multicultural.
Yes, it was.
And so that was very,
from a marketer perspective. And I know that Miami Beach is also filled with a lot of people that are like, not in my lawn, you know, get off my lawn.
Because they live there.
And like older people. I get it. And, you know, for a while I was kind of like, you know, just let people have their fun. You know, it's usually contained in Ocean Drive. Ocean Drive is a tourist area anyway. Like, people don't really live on Ocean Drive. Yeah. But the problem is that it's gotten out of hand, like, in the last several years. And again, businesses are also the ones losing on it. Workers,
the worst.
Because there's a lot of people who dine and dash and don't tip and things like that. So it's a domino effect that it's just not...
It's not beneficial.
It's not just a few people being rambunctious and maybe a few people getting arrested and things like that. It's really, like... a community under siege in a way, yeah, you know. I'm just surprised that there's like a lot of businesses just don't close down during that time.
Well, because I think a lot of businesses, and again, look, most locals, we do not go to the beach during spring break because we know it's insanity. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe when you stop and think about how much those rents are, they probably can't afford to close.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality of it. Like, yeah. They can't just be like, well, I'll be gone for these 2 weeks, right? And I'll come back in a month or whatever.
Right.
Not everybody's Nunzios.
Right.
You know?
Our listeners won't know
what I know, but you know what I mean. It's an Italian restaurant that used to literally close for the entire summer because they would go back to Italy.
Right.
But I will say, I think I found it interesting from a marketing perspective that a place that relies on tourism essentially put out an anti-tourism.
Well, that's message, actually what...
Which I thought was weird, but again, the way they did it was clever and it was catchy.
That's actually what I wanted to bring up for conversation. The fact that, as you said, that Miami Beach... you know, depend so much like any tourist destination on advertisement and, you know, and propaganda mm-hmm. and all that. And social media posts and social media campaigns. Miami Beach depends so much on that, and they're pretty much, as you said, doing a whole campaign against tourism. Yeah,
do not come here.
I've never seen that before. Uh-huh. So I wonder how effective, if effective, that's going to be. So what do you think, listeners? Do you think that this is a lot of, you know, is this a lot of cranky people, like, not in my backyard, or is there a legitimate concern? You know, I think
it's a little bit of both.
There's probably a little bit of both, but it, I mean, las cosas están de madre. It's like they've gotten out of control.
Yeah, in spring break. It's gotten bad.
Like, you see them on Only and Dade, and you laugh and you kind of roll your eyes, but then again, you think, if you live in the beach and if you work in the beach, you have to deal with this for like not one or two days, for over 2 weeks. And it's pretty much you're in a standstill. So it's just, it's a little bit problematic on many fronts. So
una lástima.
What do you guys think?
Una lástima que pagar los platos rotos.
Los platos, broken plate. Los platos los están rotos. Oh my gosh. So right before we recorded today, you know, when I was at Publix getting your chicken tender pub sub.
Yes.
I was there in the deli waiting, and this guy, very animated, with tremendo Trump hat, comes up to me, and he goes, his wife was at the deli, and I was waiting at the deli.
Okay.
But his wife, she was being served. Yeah, they were doing her
atendiéndola.
Order. La estaban atendiendo. And he comes to me, and he's like, see, I told you, to his wife, pointing at me. That's the type of guy that I was telling you about. And he had a huge Trump, like, hat, and I'm like, am I wearing a Democrat hat that I didn't know of? Like, like, am I wearing, like, something
that's going,
like,
on?
Says I'm a Democrat? Like, I was like, I'm wearing a Mickey shirt. Like, I'm like, are you talking about Mickey? He's like, see, that's the type of guy I was telling you about. I'm like, este hombre está loco. Like, and then he goes up to me, and he's like, he looks at me, he's like, my guy, you have like the perfect beard. Look at my beard. It's all white and like falling off, and like, you have the perfect beard. And I'm like,
falling off?
Good Lord. Because he was thinning hair. And I was like, wow, I thought this conversation was going to go completely different. When I see you with your huge Trump hat, I'm like, I thought this conversation was going another angle. And I even shook my hand, and we started to laugh. And I'm like, no, you know, I'll catch up to you. Like, I was, I went along with it with him. But I'm like, man, for a split second,
that could have gone a whole other way.
I touched my hat. I'm like, I don't wear political hats, but I'm like, am I wearing, like...
like, what happened? Right.
Because when I've worked in campaigns, they give me a lot of, like
hats. Stickers and stuff, too.
No, but I have, like, a lot of hats that say Joe Biden and say Democrat, you know, the Florida Democratic Party. I just never wear them. I don't wear that type of stuff. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was dark and I got the wrong hat. I was, like, touching my hat. I'm like, no, it's my Yankees hat. Like,
so, no, unless he hates the Yankees.
But it was, like, those split-second things.
You're like, what's going on?
I'm like, okay, I'm not wearing a Democrat hat. I'm like, is he talking about Mickey? Because I'm wearing a Mickey
shirt. But the real question is, did he know where the paper fasteners were?
Oh. Shall we get into this story?
Oh, let's get into the story, because I will say, you know, Ulysses Lakeys aside, I don't think I would have known where to find a paper fastener. Also, why were you looking for a paper fastener?
School project.
But like, I was trying to think, like, where, like, how, like, what did you need? I've never in my life needed a paper fastener. I built
an alligator out of cups.
Well, there you go. That's why he would need a paper fascinator. As one does.
Did you see the alligator?
I didn't.
Me la comí.
But you didn't send the picture.
Okay, well, I'll show you the picture when you finish recording. You don't know what a paper fastener is?
No, I know what a paper fastener is. I've just never had occasion to be like, let me go to the store and buy a paper fastener.
So didn't you buy paper fasteners when you did projects yourself in school?
No, because I never did anything that required a paper fastener.
So when you were in elementary school, you never did like little projects with, like, a gingerbread man that moved his hands?
No.
His arms? And then you did it with a paper fastener?
No. No. I never did. I don't remember doing one. Let me put it that way.
So paper fasteners are very common, especially, I mean, they could be used for a multitude of things.
Fastening paper.
They're also called Brad fasteners, like Brad Pitt. Right? They're used for a multitude of things, right? They could be used for office things.
Right.
But most of the time, you're going to use them usually in elementary school, like, to build the different projects.
Like crafts. Because
it's like those little gold clips that you put in paper. And then you fastened it, and then the paper, the different sheets move. So usually you will use it in school. Like, again, if you were doing like a figure of something,
and movement,
the arms had to move, you put a paper fastener. But paper fasteners in the office supply and crafts world are very common.
It's, I would imagine.
It's not, you know, it's not like I went looking for a paper fastener at an auto parts, you know? Like, so now that I went to this store, which is a very big store, and I knew they had changed that store around, so I tried myself looking for the paper fasteners, and I just couldn't find them because the store is very large. So then again, I went and I asked you the lady number one, and she was kind of my favorite one. She's like, I know you don't say queso, and she kind of walked away. She was like,
she's like, I don't know and I don't care.
She's like, not today. Like, and then then I'm like, okay, I gotta go. I'm in a hurry because of course I was in a hurry, right. And I had already spent probably like 10 minutes looking for it.
Okay,
so then I asked you the lady number two, and she's like, I know, pero queso. Yo nunca he oído de eso. And I'm like,
and of course you didn't have one.
I had a picture.
Right, but you didn't have like one physically. I had a picture.
I was showing her a picture online.
Okay.
Right?
Showing her it exists.
Yes. Right. I showed her a picture of it. And I showed her the box, right? The box that is the same brand as the store.
Like, okay, so it's not like you're showing her brand X and the store house Y.
Brand of the store fastener.
Okay.
Right? And Yuli Lakey number two, she was a little bit more customer service oriented. She took me to Yuli Lakey number three, who Yuli Lakey number three was like, no, I don't know what that is either. So I'm like, okay, all three of you Yuli Lakeys don't know what a paper fastener is. So that's, you know, as I said in my Instagram post, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to look up the paper fastener on freaking Google on your website, get the SKU number, and here you go. And then she's like, ay, sí, mira, lo tenemos, vete a la once, debe estar ahí. And there it was, But, you know, so I posted that on Instagram earlier this week, listeners, and I got some traction. You know, I loved some of the comments that they were like, oh, but these people came from Cuba. You know, why would they know what a paper fastener is? And I'm like, well, with that logic, why would they know what a lot of things are?
Right, yeah. Why would they know what a glue stick is?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, with that logic, there's a lot of things they're not going
to
know.
Listen, a couple of weeks ago for Sobe, when I went to the store to look for horseradish sauce and I couldn't find it,
that's a good one.
I was like, I asked like three people and I'm like, I don't know how to explain this because I'm like, I don't know how to say radish and I'm pretty sure it's not like...
Rabano.
I'm sure it's not rabano de caballo.
Rabano de caballo. How do you say horseradish in Spanish?
I don't know.
Radish.
Right. And the minute that I went up to this girl... This minute that I... No, because she would have given me like tomatillo sauce or something. Mm-hmm. Like the minute I went up to this girl, I was like, this is not... She's not going to know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to know how to explain it. So I had to go from like... I look like a goddamn bee from flower to flower. Mm-hmm. Like just trying to find someone. And eventually I found a guy in the produce section. Mm-hmm. He sent me to the wrong aisle. But either way, he knew what I was talking about. But it's like, yeah, it's that thing of like, I don't know how to explain this.
Right.
And I understand that you don't know what that is because that's not a common thing. It's not like I asked for like...
Right. But you didn't know how to explain it and you didn't have a picture.
Right.
I had
right.
a picture of the house brand box
of where you were.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were like, I know. Yo no sé qué es eso. Es aquí nosotros no tenemos. I'm like,
that's it
says the name. The box says the name of the store.
That's my favorite. Like, when it's like, no, we don't sell that here. And it's like,
you do. The box says the name of the store. The box that I'm showing you online says the name of the store. What do you mean, you the lakey? So the comment, you know, when I posted this online, like the comments were hilarious. I mean, look, I know I made this video in jest, and I didn't get mad at this. I really was laughing.
Well, you
at
love
it.
These instances.
I live for these moments.
Yeah.
Not only because now I could use it as content on the podcast, but I live for these moments because they're so hilarious. And I know that there's days that you're in a hurry and you're just not having it. And the last thing you want to do is deal with Yuli Lakey, especially Yuli Lakey
number three.
One. No, because two and three were like trying to help.
That's right.
Was like not having it. Was like, I don't know. We don't have it. I'm gonna go, you know,
dye my hair black.
My family in Cuba, right. You know, I mean, there's days that you're just not feeling it, and I totally get it, and there's days that it's really frustrating, but like you sort of have to look at from the outside looking in how hilarious that is. Yeah. You know, that it's like, no, like,
and that's just the way it is here.
It's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, I went to this store and it happened there.
Right.
No.
Also, this wasn't a store in like Little Havana. This was like in Kendall.
Right. Where you would have thought.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, look, I think that's type of stuff is really funny. And it's just a little kind of nugget of joy of living where we live. And, you know.
Sure is.
I mean, I laugh at that type of stuff.
And, oh, you have to.
And I think it's great that, you know, all three of the girls were Yuli Lakey, because we know what that means.
It is shorthand.
Yeah, like, I don't need to say anything else.
No, that says everything and more.
Yuli Lakey or Yunaki?
Yes.
What I like about Yunaki is that Yunaki is unisex. Yunaki could be a boy or a girl.
Oh, I thought... I was trying to think of, like, it's not unisex.
No, Yunaki could be a boy or a girl.
The other day, Jose and I were going to Olive Garden. And on the way, we passed by, like, a used auto store or dealer or whatever. And Jose was like, milagro que nadie en Cuba se llama Usted.
Usted?
Usted. Like, used.
Used. I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there has to be, right?
It's almost here.
You mean?
Yep. Our favorite tradition is back. The fair. It starts March 14th through April 7th.
Yes. Okay. And this year's theme is Space Venture. And I've seen the new ride called the X-Drive. Bro, that thing is like the kamikaze on steroids.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty insane. And of course, there's the exhibits and new shows this year, like the Amazing Bubble Factory and Space Adventure Thrill Show.
Okay. Okay. Rides, exhibits, shows. I mean, that's all good. But we know what our Pedro Primos want to hear about.
The food. Dale, what can we look forward to?
Okay, are you ready? Korean corn dog, cinnamon roll sundae, banana cream pie nachos, elote sundae, Angela's pineapple and guava pizza, cheeseburger on a stick, buffalo chicken fries, and more.
Coño. Wow. Oye, new rides, shows, and food. Visit fairexpo.com to get entrance and ride tickets. Then enjoy them all at the fair from March 14th through April 7th, okay? You know we gotta say it. Be there.
The fair.
I'm sure there is. That is why I have told you that in the greater Miami-Dade area, there cannot be a Cracker Barrel.
Oh, no. No.
Because Yunaki, Yunabi working at the Cracker Barrel. I could just imagine, okay, if Yuli Lakey and Yunabi worked at the Cracker Barrel when they're in their time off, like that they're not working.
They're on Los Siones outside.
Right. Their comments. Mira que en esa tienda que tienen ahí hay fefere, pero ¿quién compra esas cosas? Fefere.
That is such a great word.
Mira que ahí hay fefere y cosas, pero ¿quién compra esas velas? Y esos suéter con esas nubes. ¿Quién se pone eso? Ay, no. Eso está feísimo.
Esos caramelos que no saben a nada.
Pero no, sí, no. Y esas cosas. I could just imagine the food. Esos panes, que eso no tiene gusto a nada. Bueno, the biscuits are to die for. Eso no tiene gusto a nada.
¿Y quién se come una manzana con la comida? Eso ahí, eso es todo lo único. Eso es puro canela.
¿Quién ha visto el quimbombó freírlo así? You know quimbombó, yeah, right?
It's an okra.
Fried okra. ¿Quién se come quimbombó así?
No. Y esos huevos ahí que no tienen sabor a nada.
I mean, listen. I am all for Yuli Lakey and Yunabi working at the Cracker Barrel.
But I want them to be fully mic'd up all day so we can hear this.
I mean, I think that's a reality show.
Oh, yeah. Like, I want Ashton Kutcher to do that as, like, a punk.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I want them to be my servers.
Yes. Actually, can we just bring them and have them train that day? I mean, we can. I'm sure we could. I'm sure if we ask nicely.
I mean, imagine to un cubano acaba de llegar explaining to them country gravy.
I don't think I can explain country gravy in English.
¿Qué? Esa cosa blanca que echan por arriba las
how
cosas.
How do you say gravy in Spanish?
Gravy?
Yeah.
Stupido. I don't think gravy exists in Spanish. Listeners, does gravy exist in Spanish?
I mean, because you can say like una salsa, obviously.
No.
I'm saying obviously una salsa, quote unquote. But like that's not gravy. Like that's not
una salsa is a generic term.
Okay, yes, but right. Like if I have to
marmalade una salsa,
No, no, eso es una mermelada.
Right, but you could say una. Right, but it could be a sauce.
Right, but I know how to explain marmalade. Una mermelada. Like, una mermelada. Una mermelada. I don't know how to explain gravy, much less country gravy.
I don't know. I don't think in Latin culture gravy exists.
Es una salsa de campo.
I mean, definitely in Caribbean culture, gravy, that doesn't exist.
That's not a thing, no.
Gravy? Does gravy exist in Caribbean culture or Latin culture? Or Latin
culture, culture for that matter.
Listeners, help us out.
Does it exist in Spain? I'll take Spain at this point.
I don't think gravy exists. I think gravy is American. Like, do the Irish have gravy?
Oh, I think they do. Because I think it's, yeah. I think they have like a type of gravy.
Okay, so gravy is not, we know gravy's not Latin.
It's or Caribbean. White. It's white. It's definitely white. Because I think like bangers and mash probably has some type of gravy.
Yes, they probably call it dressing,
right?
Or I think the word gravy is purely American.
Do you have anything that is not swimming in gravy?
The great Eartha
kid. Eartha. But look at us asking all these, you know, probing questions.
Do you know what I was about to say? The great Eartha kid in my best friend's wedding.
Okay. I don't know how AI works, but can we make it work to do that?
Wait, what's the name of the movie? Emperor's New Groove.
Right. Okay. Would you use her to replace Cameron Diaz?
Cameron Diaz all the way. Okay. All the way, because Cameron Diaz was a little crazy. Like, can you imagine that driving scene of Cameron Diaz in My Best Friend's Wedding? Oh. Listeners, for those of you who don't know Eartha Kitt, just go Google, like, the best of Eartha Kitt.
You won't be disappointed.
So, I mean, I love Eartha Kitt from, I mean, she's, actually, you and I were having a conversation the other day, you know, she's iconic, she was Batgirl?
No, Catwoman.
Catwoman.
She was the first black Catwoman.
She was Catwoman, she did all these things. I really know her from The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
And she was, I watched that movie and I'm like, okay, why am I laughing so much at this villain, at Yzma? And it's because it was voiced by Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt was wonderful, wonderful.
It's kind of weird how you get to know, like, people that are iconic.
After the fact.
Like, for example, the great Diane Carroll, right?
Yeah.
You know what I really know her as?
Whitley's mom.
Whitley's mom.
Yeah.
From a different world. She was Whitley's mom.
But that depends on how old you are when
when the internet and social media.
Why would we have watched Dynasty?
Of it all sort of started coming around, and like that scene, that famous scene of her as Dominatrix. Dominique's.
Dominique Devereaux.
And Joan Collins, yes. You know, the champagne is burned, you know. I was like, oh, Whitley's mom was in. was in Dynasty. And again, Diane Carroll was like a
yeah, she was the first black woman to have her own show on primetime TV.
She was like a really broke pioneer, down barriers, and she was like an icon, and I knew her as Whitley's mom, but I mean, she was very much before our time. Yeah, so
I mean, that's genuinely before our time.
Yeah, but I knew her as Whitley's mom. Do you remember in A Different World who? So Diane Carroll is Whitley's mom. Do you remember Dwayne Wade, who his mom was?
Wait, did you say Dwayne Wade?
Dwayne Wayne. Dwayne Wade. It's a long day. Let's just say it's almost Friday.
Patti LaBelle.
Yeah. And they didn't like each other.
At all.
Yeah. And that was a great show. I feel that A Different World, I think. Well, I mean, look, I think A Different World, for people who know,
right?
If you know how good that show is. But I think that show deserves even more flowers.
I feel like it had a little bit of a mini renaissance in the last couple years.
I hope so.
Like recognition wise,
is it on streaming?
I think it might be on Hulu.
Why don't all like the network shows, like for example, why isn't A Different World on Peacock?
Because it depends.
That's an NBC show.
It aired on NBC, but it doesn't mean it's an NBC show.
See, all this complications with streaming.
Well, it's not streaming. It's because, remember, the studios create shows and then sell them to the networks. So it could be a Warner Brothers show that aired on NBC, so that now when it airs, it's on Max.
Viacom, you know.
It's on Max.
Yeah, right. It's on Max, whatever that means.
Oh, I think that's where A Different World is, on Max.
On HBO Max.
Because I think it's a Warner property.
Right. So us mere mortals are supposed to know that?
Well, just look up where it's available, where it's streaming. I mean, you don't have to know the backstory.
Right, but that's the problem, because there's so many streaming options, you don't know where shit is.
Well, no, that's a whole different conversation.
Right, because it would make sense, right, that if a show was on NBC, it would be on Peacock.
Right, but then also think about it, like, kids nowadays don't know when it was on, what it was on, so if they stumble across it at, on Netflix...
That's true. They have no idea that
must-see TV. Yeah.
Must-see TV means nothing to somebody under 30.
At all. They're like, why would you see TV when you can stream?
Right. Let alone what day of the, of the week, like, it was.
I have to watch it on your day? No, I'm good.
No.
Yeah.
Forever Thursdays.
Yes, to me, Thursdays are always must-see TV, and Fridays are TGIF.
Well, yeah, of course.
That's it. Like, those are the 2 days for me that are like, till the day I die.
Yeah. And Mondays are just manic.
Or for a while there, they were a bitch when Melrose Place was on Mondays.
Oh, I thought you were going to go somewhere with that.
Where?
Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Oh, no. Oh, that show's great.
That show was great.
That show's ahead of its time.
Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment. My favorite in that show was James Vanderbeek.
He was great.
He was amazing in that show.
Yeah.
I love that he was such a pretentious asshole.
I love when actors are willing to take the piss out of themselves.
And he played himself.
Yeah.
He went on Dancing with the Stars.
And his competition was Dean Cain.
That show was great. That's up there with like shows that were canceled and should have not been canceled.
Yeah, that's what I say. It was ahead of its time.
Like, and then, of course, number one on that is...
Wait. I feel like this should be on the tip of my tongue, and it's not.
It was around that time. We loved the show.
Happy Endings?
Yep.
Yep. Well, at least that one got three seasons.
Yes.
At least. Oh, that show was so good.
Happy Endings was great.
That show's wonderful. You know what? I'm just going to rewatch it again.
I have to say that during that time, there was a bunch of good shows that came out. Because let's not forget New Girl. When New Girl came out, Girl was a riot.
That's true.
It was like most shows, like in the last couple of years, it was a little But that show, New Girl, the first few years was awesome. And Schmidt, the character of Schmidt,
I mean, he talk about an evolution of a character.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So this weekend, or this week, yeah, coming up, it's the Oscars, right?
It's it's a Sunday. Are Hollywood's excited? Biggest night.
Do we care?
I mean, I don't know that care is the right word, because, you know, it's no skin off my nose what wins or doesn't. I do always look forward to the Oscars just because of the Oscars of it all.
I always watch it, but...
Have you seen any of the movies?
No, not one.
Not a one?
Not one.
Really? Wow.
Nope.
I'm trying to think. I think I've only seen Barbie. I think it's the only one I've seen. Oppenheimer is on Peacock now, so I'll probably wind up watching that.
I want to watch that, because that's up my alley.
Yeah. I'll watch Poor Things. It's on Hulu now.
I haven't seen Barbie. And honestly...
It's on Max.
Don't hate me. Don't hate me, people. I nothing against the movie. I'm all for it and what it meant. It's just not my thing.
It's not your jam.
It's just not. I mean, it's one of these things that, like, if it's on TV, like, I'll watch it. I'm not against it. I like Margot Robbie. Again,
You like America Ferrera.
I do. I'm totally for what the movie meant and all that. That's great. But I don't know if I'm going to sit 2 hours to watch that.
What are the... I don't even know what else is nominated. What else is nominated?
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days.
But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Leftovers, I think, which I haven't seen. My God, I couldn't even tell you. That's the thing. It's just going to be an Oppenheimer night.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally, I think it's just going to sweep, except for Billie Eilish is probably going to win for the Barbie song.
That is a great song.
It's a pretty song. I mean, yeah. It's a sad song, but it's a pretty song. Yeah.
You know what I watched this week that I hadn't seen in a while? Which I think it was nominated for an Oscar back in 1980. Have you ever seen Kramer versus Kramer?
I've never seen it.
That is one of my favorite movies ever, with Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep. So the relevance of Kramer versus Kramer is that the movie's from like 79-80. So it was right around the time that like people were getting divorced.
Yeah, it was like when divorce was like divorce really
was becoming a very common thing. Yeah. And split families were becoming a thing. So Meryl Streep's character at the beginning of the movie, she leaves.
She's the one who leaves.
She's the one who leaves, and okay. She leaves their son to Dustin Hoffman. Mm-hmm. And the movie is about him trying to be a single father. Mm-hmm. And then she comes back at the end, and she kind of wants the child back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's sort of like the court system in terms of how it does have a bias to the mother and, mm-hmm. and things like that. But just the movie is so good, or well-alleged bias to the mother. The movie is so good. That is one of my favorite movies. And that's one of these movies that's like very heavy dialogue.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's just...
The plot is
yeah.
three sentences.
But it's a great movie. For those of you who haven't seen it, like, Meryl Streep... I mean, we all know how great Meryl Streep is. Right. We all know that.
God knows she's gotten all her flowers.
But Meryl Streep is somebody that, like, if you have the time and you say, you know, this month, I'm going to devote it to Meryl Streep.
Ooh, a Meryl Streep-a-thon.
You know, the thing about it is just that because she's had such a long career... Right. There's a catalog, right? Because it's over 40 years at this point. And it's been so many things that like you just forget how many good movies she's been on. Because like here I am thinking in the late 70s, early 80s, Kramer versus Kramer. During that time, she was also in Silkwood.
Yeah.
She was also in The French Lieutenant's Wife. She was also in Sophie's Choice. You know, it's like so many that it's like, where do you like, well, you so Sophie's Choice. Like, where do you pick? You know, it's just so many.
And then she did comedies, and she did an action movie with The River Wild. And she's okay, done everything.
So you know that River Wild is one of my favorite Meryl Streep movies.
Really?
I love that movie. It's one of the movies I've seen the most. I almost can close my eyes and watch that movie from start to finish.
Wow.
I saw that movie in the movie theater like actually three times.
Damn.
That's how much I
liked
it.
You really like that movie.
I love that movie. It's funny because that's like one of her most forgettable films, River Wild. It's really that, if you haven't seen it. It's a movie where her and her family are taking a leisurely whitewater rafting stroll, if you will. And Kevin Bacon comes and has different plans, you know, because he's un delincuente.
See, that's what happens when they let people start dancing in that town from Footloose.
But that movie is so like 90s, like the type of movies that would come out of the 90s. Of its
time, yeah.
I think it's from like 94, 95. But that's a great movie. Mira, one of her most famous movie that to me is, I give it credit for what it is, but it's nothing for me, is Death Becomes Her.
Oh, I love that movie.
I know it's a great movie, and
it's her, Goldie Hawn, Bruce Willis. Like,
I mean, and when I've seen the movie, I've liked it, but that's not the type of movie that I watch over and over again.
Yeah, that movie is high camp.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from it, but it's not the type of movie. Not that Sophie's Choice is either.
Oh, I was off from work today. I'm just going to watch Sophie's Choice.
It's a feel-good movie of the year, you know? When I saw that movie of hers, It's Complicated.
That's the one with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, it was so weird seeing her be a normal person. Because that's one of the few movies that she's done that she's not a character.
Right.
Well, she's a character, but not a character.
Right. She's not like, you know, the grand dame or whatever. Yeah. Right. She's just some chick on the street.
Yeah, she didn't have to do an accent or anything. She was just a normal woman, you know. You know,
she was Meryl Streep.
She was Meryl Streep.
Right.
Yeah.
So mere mortals.
I know.
You always say
her son-in-law's Mark Ronson.
You always say that The Devil Wears Prada doesn't need a sequel.
At all. Mm. What? Do you disagree?
Well, it's not that. I'm Mr. Don't make a sequel right, just because it's popular.
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone. But I think that people want to see more of Miranda Priestly. That I mean, actually, at the BAFTAs this year, the British, you didn't see it?
No.
At the BAFTAs this year, she presented with Emily Blunt and Anne Hathaway.
Oh, that's nice. But see, that's what I want.
And Hathaway was wearing a cerulean dress. And they sort of did a scene. I mean, I think people want to see that more, but I mean, again, I agree. Like, you don't have to make a...
The thing with that a lot of times is that people want to see it, quote unquote, and then when they do, they're disappointed with the end product, right? Because you've built it up so much in your head that there's nowhere to go but down, mm-hmm. right? So you know what? That's okay. We don't need a sequel. They're doing a musical in the West End. Vanessa Williams is playing Miranda Priestly. We're good.
Mm. Or maybe they could do... a sequel or another movie in the Devil Wears Prada universe.
The Pradaverse? I don't... not everything has to be IP.
And, you know, she has like a cameo.
Not everything has to be IP. Like, I mean, that's my thing.
Listen, you're preaching to the top. I agree with that 100%.
I know you agree with me.
But I think that a lot of times... Because I think that sometimes with the whole IP thing that you're talking about or making something a franchise... I think sometimes it's just the movie in general and just the cast of the everything of the movie. Mm-hmm. But then I think other times that there's certain characters. And Devil Wears Prada, it's Miranda Priestly. Like, I think that...
But it's also, does she work because you get
what she's in that universe, right?
Because you get what you get, right? Like, people are always like saying, oh, let's spin off this character. It's like, right, but the reason that character works is because in the context of that movie, they're not the main character. You've only got 20 minutes and look, you love them.
The best example of that, we've talked about that before, is with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I love Han Solo.
I didn't care how he got the Millennium Falcon.
I didn't need to see his backstory. I like him in the movie. I don't care. I was never like, I wonder how Han Solo and Chewie.
Right.
Like, no. And the Millennium. How did they end up together? That's like Lando.
No.
Lando in, you know, Empire Strikes Back is badass.
Yeah.
Great. We love Billy D. Williams.
Who doesn't?
I never needed to know Lando's backstory.
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
I'm okay.
I'm good.
I never stopped and thought, I wonder how Lando became Lando.
Yeah, like did he always have that cape? No, yes. I never. No, never.
Was he always so suave?
Yes. Or did he have to work at it?
I mean, you want to talk about perfect casting?
Seriously.
Billy D. Willie?
Man. I mean, I'm pretty sure they just wrote it for him.
You know what I think of? Okay. Back to thinking about things that are different. This is really obscure. Really obscure. When I think of Billy D. Williams, okay. I don't even think of Lando first.
Do you think of Diana Ross?
No. Excuse
me.
In the late 80s, early 90s, my mom was really into Avon, like most women. And Billy D. Williams had a line of Avon products.
He did.
What was it called? Was it Desirable? And I remember that in the Avon catalog, many times he was on the cover, or many times he had like several spreads of his products. And I remember that I would always see them. And, you know, and obviously because he was such a big name, especially at that time,
right?
He was very heavily
prominent in
the pictures. And I'm like, why is that man all over these pictures? Like, I didn't really know that was Lando. Right. I was like a little kid. I didn't know he was Lando. I didn't know Billy D. Williams was. I'm like, why is that man? He would always be in like a tux with like
the undone bow tie.
And I'm like, oh, Billy D. Williams was the Avon guy.
I had no flipping clue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to look this up. I'm totally looking it up.
Billy D. Williams.
I thought you were going to say that, like, you know, for some reason you knew him from Dynasty. I don't know.
No, I knew this because, like, these are just, like, I don't know, random memories you have.
The Avon catalog was a big part of my childhood.
Yeah, just random memories you have when as a kid, I remember that my mom would, you know, pay the bills and, you know, mm-hmm. she'd sit down and pay all the bills and the la bill con la chequera, you know, balance the checkbook and all that. And I remember that she used to do that next to me when I was doing my homework.
Right.
Yeah. Right. She used to do that like once a week or whatever. That I'll never forget. These are like the random memories you have as a kid. That, like, for example, when she would get like the Burdines bill, the Burdines bill would always come with a little sample of like scratch and sniff perfume.
Oh yeah.
And she would always give it to me for me to smell. Right. And then, you know, I would always be sitting next to her when I was doing my homework. And you know, when you're doing your homework, you'll read the phone book just not to do your homework. Yeah. And so many kids out there are like, what's the phone book? But you'll read whatever, right? Just not to do your homework. And she would have the Avon catalog. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess
I'm flipping through this today.
Flipping through the Avon catalog because I'm not doing Riverside Mathematics. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I know
exactly the book you're talking about.
Riverside.
Wow.
Riverside Mathematics. That is if you know, you know type wow. thing. Wow. That means you were raised in the 80s and 90s.
You just took me back in a way that I had not even contemplated.
Riverside
Mathematics. Wowzers.
Do you know that I remember all my Riverside Mathematics books from first grade to fifth grade?
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
I've looked them up online and found them. Yeah, they exist.
They're just out there in the wild?
Yeah, like you could buy them on eBay. And I'm like, I think I'm going to buy some. Like, I specifically remember the one that was green with, like, a sort of pyramid-shaped thing yes. made out of green balls. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You just took me back.
Yeah. And then I think there was another one that had, like, a tic-tac-toe thing, but in red. Yeah, each year was a different color. Riverside Mathematics, if you know, you know.
But the green one just
But boom, anyway, hit me. But anyway, back to Billy D.
Williams. Back to Billy D. Williams, as one does.
We're gonna, okay, let's move on.
We're going to go from Avon to Riverside to Billy D. Williams.
That is the biggest tangent I think we've ever gone on yeah. in life.
like, te la comiste. Like, you, as a kid, you know, you ate left no crumbs. Like, yes,
you are, yeah.
I'll never forget, also, when I was in elementary school, we used to do... we used to do like a series of like reading comprehension like stories that was in a book called RSVP, and it was reading skills very practical. And for years I thought that's what RSVP meant. That people so, would be like, oh, RSVP, I'm like, reading skills very practical.
That was a very odd invitation.
Reading skills very practical.
I'm gonna make sure that that's what it is when I send an RSVP mm-hmm. moving forward for a party.
Good thing I have such a good memory, because I remember all that shit. Like, do you remember all that shit? Like, living yeah. through it now.
That I don't remember, the RSVP thing. I don't think maybe we didn't use those. I don't know.
That's like, don't you remember that SATs were the Stanford Achievement Test?
Yes.
And then when we got to high school, it was like, oh, the SAT we have to take for college is not the Stanford Achievement Test?
Yeah, it was very jarring.
Something else.
It was like, wait, but they're the same thing.
I'm not sure what the Stanford Achievement Test is. The Stanford Achievement Test when we were kids, I mean, listeners, again, if you're of a certain age, like,
you probably took it.
Do you know what we're talking about? Or is it just me, my mind playing
tricks? No, because I know what you're talking
right.
about.
Right. I remember they were always talking about the Stanford Achievement Test.
Yeah, because they wouldn't call it the SAT.
No,
it was the Stanford Achievement Test. Yes, you're right. Who's Stanford? But when
they would give us the thing,
it
would
college?
Say, but when they would give us Stanford, you know, not Harvard, but when they would give us the thing, it would say SAT.
Right.
But then it'd say in smaller, you know, Stanford Achievement Test. But then I thought when, you know, yeah, towards our latter high school years that we were getting ready for the real SAT, I'm like, oh, wait, the real SAT and the Stanford Achievement Test are not the same thing. They're not mutually exclusive.
Why was Stanford so invested in our elementary school education?
I don't know.
That we're was asking all the questions. Wait,
that
today.
Was Uncle Sal's scary stories.
Yes, that was Uncle Sal. Yes. 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 And some of y'all.
I'll never forget when we were in third grade. When we were in third, like, I am like listening to it now. When I was in third grade, I'll never forget like the school counselor coming to our class because they were like, oh, tomorrow is the SAT test. You know, Stanford Achievement Test. You have to be ready. Make sure you make a big breakfast.
Yes. They always wanted you to have breakfast.
And I remember telling my mom, mamá, mañana me tienes que hacer desayuno. She's like, no, tú te vas a comer un yogur. ¿Qué desayuno? Because you know, in these American like worlds, like they sit down and have like a full-fledged breakfast.
I'm sure nobody does. I'm sure nobody does. That's like on TV shows, like when it's like, you know, oh, we're getting ready for the day and they're having like these breakfasts and everyone, the whole fucking cast comes into the kitchen
and they just have orange juice.
They just have like, you know, they have all these meals and it's like, okay, no, work starts at 9. This is happening at like 5:45 a.m. No, you are not all awake that fucking early having breakfast together.
I'll never forget that they were like, oh, have like a full breakfast, like a pancakes or something. And my mom was like, tú vas a comprar, comete un yogurt. And that's it.
Oh. Was it like when yogurt with fruit on the bottom?
No, it was Yoplait.
Yoplait.
Yoplait. Or La Yogurt.
La
those
Yogurt.
Are, those are the two that we used to buy.
Do they still make La Yogurt?
They do.
That's when we thought being French was classy.
When we were kids in the 80s, they didn't have Chobani.
No.
When we were kids in the
80s, everything was French.
No, no. The yogurt aisle. Think about the yogurt aisle. It was so small.
It was.
Look, in the 80s and 90s,
Danin.
Greek yogurt was not a thing.
No, no, no. That's what I'm saying. It was Danin, Yoplait, La Yogurt.
And La Yogurt.
And like maybe the house brand. I'm saying like maybe, if any. It's like four.
Right. No, Sedanos didn't have a house brand.
Well, no, but the other ones did. Like, yeah, we didn't have Danimals.
Right, but like all, these, yogurts Chobani, for, all these yogurts for kids, the Go-Gurt, right. You know, the Icelandic yogurt, the...
Which is the one that looks like a stop sign. Like a European stop sign, the logo.
No sé. The Wii, now that they have in French. And then all the different arrays of Greek yogurt. It's not actually when we were kids. No. Look, when we were kids, I feel that Yoplait had like 1,000 flavors.
Yes, that was their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was like strawberries. Strawberries with cherry. They
had cheesecake.
They still have cheesecake.
No, I'm saying, I remember that. And that was like, oh,
you know what,
cheesecake
yogurt. You know what blew my mind? When Yoplait came out with the whips.
I remember the whips.
Listeners, do you remember when Yoplait came out with the whips? Do they still
make the whips?
I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like you're a yogurt connoisseur more so than I am.
Yogurt is yogurt.
I like with the fruit on the bottom.
That's like all this yogurt, like the Chobani and all. And I was like, oh, with a side of chocolate and this. And I'm like, it's still yogurt. Like, it's whatever. Oh, my God. You know what totally rocked my world?
I don't know. After you said it was whips, I don't know.
I'll never forget. This was in high school. The my little girlfriend in high school. She bought one day cornflakes with like the dried strawberries.
Oh.
And I remember the first time I had one of those dehydrated strawberries, it kind of plumps up in your mouth when you put it in your mouth. I'm like, oh, what type of witchcraft is this?
That's how you knew magic was real.
Because you know I'm not a cereal person. I don't eat cereal.
But that shit came from Hogwarts. Yeah,
I was like, what is this? Like, I remember my mind being blown. Like what?
Oh, I want to watch you eat dried fruit now.
I mean, you know what I would do on a typical Friday night when I was like in, like, especially like my freshman year of college, you know, like when we wouldn't go out. Like, I remember I would go to Publix and buy the Snackwell's Devil Food Cake cookies. I mean, like, they have no fat.
I totally forgot those existed.
Yeah. And they had no fat.
They were pretty good.
Yeah, they had everything else, but they didn't have fat. I mean, like, I could eat the whole box, they have no fat.
Did they have a Lestra?
Who knows? But then again, yeah, I was like 19. Yeah, so, you know, I could eat like...
you could eat 17 boxes of those.
Yeah, and I was like going to be okay.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, Lestra.
Well, Lestra's what made you like take a shit, right?
Pretty much. It caused anal seepage.
Was that really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, do you know what that reminded me of?
God, I don't want to know.
Do you know?
What did anal seepage?
Some years ago, remember the whole thing with Rick Santorum?
Oh, they wanted to make that.
They turned the word.
Dan Savage.
Do you remember what he turned the name Santorum into?
It was like a sex act.
So for those of you who didn't know, Dan Santorum was like this.
Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum was this politician, probably like 10, 12 years ago, that he was like very right wing, very conservative, which now he would probably be a liberal with the way things are. But he was very like like very, very conservative,
traditional, quote unquote,
on social issues, mm-hmm. right? Like he was totally against gay marriage and all that stuff, and you know, against the homosexuals and all that. So, ¿cómo se llama?
Dan Savage,
who's like a sex sort of positive columnist and comedian, he did this whole thing online to make a definition for the word for Rick Santorum.
Right, like the Urban Dictionary. Right,
for the Urban Dictionary on what they were going to define the word Santorum. So if you looked up Rick Santorum on Google, that would come out. And I think it was like he put it to a vote. Mm-hmm. And I think finally what won was that Santorum was the residue, the frothy. I remember the word frothy was in it. The frothy residue post-anal sex. Like something like that.
Frothy residue? Yes.
But then when you would look up Santorum, that's what would come out. And I was like, coño, Dan Savage, well played.
Yes,
like,
sir. Yes, sir. He Dan Savage is an interesting individual.
Yeah, I don't know too much about him. I know about him in context to that.
He's very much like you were saying, he's a columnist, he's sex positive. But he's very much just like he's sarcastic, he's got a biting sense of humor, and he's never pulled any punches. And I think one of the reasons that like the whole Santorum thing kind of took off is because it was recent-ish, but it was also like the advent of social media. Mm-hmm. So I think that he early on was able to just kind of mobilize it and be like, okay, I'm gonna use this mm-hmm. platform to mm-hmm. to push this forward.
Right. So this episode has been brought to you by Riverside Mathematics.
Yes.
Because math is a terrible thing to
whips.
Yoplait whips. Yoplait whips. Do you know what I also missed? The Keebler pizzerias.
I forgot about those.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, if you want to talk snacks, I could talk snacks all day. Discontinued snacks.
Well, no, we'll save that for when Seth is back on the show.
Discontinued snacks.
That's up his alley.
Yeah. Do you remember the pizzerias?
Not until this minute, yes.
Mm-hmm. They had pepperoni pizza, they had cheese pizza, they had supreme pizzas.
They had three flavors.
Yeah. Yeah. That was some good shit.
It was. I miss random ass snacks. I'm sure there's so many. I'm having like...
Does Keebler still make the Soft Patch cookies?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are the ones that I buy whenever I buy them.
Oh my God. When I was a kid, I was so convinced they lived inside the tree.
They do. I don't know who lied to you. They're still there.
That's like when I was a kid, I was sure.
Oh, like Dunkaroos.
What are Dunkaroos?
Dunkaroos was the cookies that you dunk. It came in like a little strip thing. So it was the logo was a kangaroo. And then you would dunk it in like a vanilla frosting thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what they don't have anymore? The thing about a bomb bomb. It's always gone, gone. Bomb bomb's the right size. Bomb bomb's the right size. 20 ice cream bells dipped in chocolatey shells.
Sobe beverages.
That's gone.
That's gone.
You know which ones I really liked? But yeah, this is more recent. This is in the 2000s. I liked the candy Altoids. The ones that were like really sour.
Oh, I did like those.
That came in the silver can?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't make those anymore.
Oh, gosh. No, they haven't made those for a while. I like those a lot. You know what I really wanted when I was a kid? The Play-Doh Barber Shop. Do you remember the Play-Doh Barber Shop?
I had it.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't have it. I didn't have it that the hair would come out. I don't know why I thought about that when talking about snacks.
I think it says a lot about what you would do with Play-Doh if you were eating. Were you eating your Play-Doh, Darian?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Play-Doh's salty.
Is it?
Yes. Salt is one of the things that you make clay with. Yeah, you never made clay at school?
I did, but I don't think of Play-Doh as clay. If that makes sense.
Well, it is.
No, I know it is. But like in my mind, it's like it smells so plastic.
Right.
That like I have, it's a very distinct smell. Like, you know when there's Play-Doh around.
What other discontinued, listeners, what discontinued snacks are we forgetting? Hey everyone, it's DJ. Yoye, you know we've been digging on Gawi Lemon Lime Soda for a bit now. The tart, sweet, bubbly taste of Gawi Lemon Lime is perfect for thirst quenching, and it's been a hit at all of our Ping Pong Boyo pop-ups. People love it. Not to mention, it's been a crisp, refreshing soda since 1948 without an aftertaste like some other sodas. Just saying. Así que get your Gawi Lemon Lime at your store or even online. And if your store doesn't carry it, pues pídelo and start enjoying the authentically Cuban taste of Gawi Lemon Lime today. Gawi Lemon Lime, qué rico es.
Well, I don't know what we're forgetting, but I think we can put it to our listeners. And we've been eating a lot of discontinued snacks. This
Rocky Road ice cream isn't a thing anymore.
It's still out there.
Yeah, you think so?
No, I've seen it. Mm. I saw it the other day when I bought ice cream.
Well, I'm not saying it's discontinued, but I feel it's like...
Yeah. It had its moment. Right, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Butterscotch. Butterscotch.
Yeah.
Pralines and cream.
Pralines and cream was a big one.
Wait, what's the 50s dessert? Cherry's Jubilee.
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's go.
I would kill for a baked Alaska right now.
Got it.
All right. So are you ready for the last Kawi?
Yes, our last Kawi of the desert. Right.
Limón con lima, lima, limón. Lo trae Gawi, que vacilón. En la respuesta para este calor. Tómate un Gawi, lima, limón.
Last Kawi of the desert. All right. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? All right.
So, actually, going to give it to a supermarket chain. Oh. And that supermarket chain is Aldi.
Oh, love me.
So, you know, we hear so much about, how expensive food prices are. And especially, you know, when you have a kid, you know, when I go shopping for him, like, it's just so much more money. I guess I'm very fortunate that, like, up to very recently, I never really stopped to think how much money I was spending on food. Like, you need food. You need to go grocery shopping, like, whatever. It's not a mortgage payment. It's not a car payment. But so, I mean, I'm very fortunate. I never really stopped to be like, okay, I'm spending this money on groceries. Mm-hmm. But then I'd be like, okay, I'm going to Publix and I bought like three things and it's like $70. Right. You know, like, I'm leaving here with two bags and like, how did I spend so much money? Like, I really started noticing the price of food in the last couple of years, like so many people have. And I remember going to Aldi some years ago and be like, yeah, no. Like, no. I mean, I'm Publix till I die, right? I'm like, no, we're not doing Aldi. But I have to tell you, they really stepped up their game. Their stores are, like, really good now. And if I was more frugal like you, I would save more money. I've never believed in going out of my way to save $2. Like, I'm not going to go to another supermarket and do all this stuff save $2 or $3 like some people do. But the thing is that the price difference between Aldi and Publix, it's like substantial. Yeah. Like, it's not that it's $10 less, because even $10, I'm not going to go out of my way so my final bill at the grocery store is $10 less.
Right.
But we're talking about like almost half.
Yeah.
I mean, almost half. Like, I've actually done the thing. Like, I've gone to Aldi. I'm like, I'm going to buy everything that I could buy here that I would buy at Publix. Right. And I'm like, it wasn't even like $100. It was like $60. Whereas at Publix, it would have been, and your total is like 170 something. Yeah. And I'm like, coño, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously this business model is profitable for them, because if not, they wouldn't be having it. And I know, like, I was actually watching something about the economics of Aldi the other day, and it's just, you don't even think about it, that Aldi doesn't have like a deli. It doesn't have a meat counter, a fish counter, because those are all extra employees they have to pay.
Right.
So they were saying how, like, an Aldi has only like a fraction of the workforce that a standard supermarket does. And that's one of the reasons why they could keep their stores so low. And honestly, you know, I'm all pro-employee and living wages and all that, but when I go to Aldi, I don't feel like there's less personnel. Like, it's not like I need something and there's not a person in sight. Like, I've never felt that, like,
que falta algo.
Right. You know? And I think that the price difference is extremely substantial. So, again, I'm sure they're making money out of this. If not, they wouldn't be doing it. But, you know, good that we have, especially now, a supermarket chain that, like, you really could save a lot of money. And the food is good. Like, the food is fresh. Because I think that was one of the things that turned me off when I first went to Aldi several years ago. That I'm like, the produce is, like, I always judge a supermarket by the produce.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I still don't think their produce is the best, but it's good enough. Like,
right.
It's good enough. So, Kawi, here's the last soda to you. I'm sorry, Aldi, here's the last soda to you. And if you were even smarter, you would sell some Kawi.
Yes, you would sell Kawi, some Kawi, or any of the Kawi products.
Right. Absolutely. Can you imagine, though, because Aldi's based in Germany?
Is it German? I know it's European. I don't remember right now exactly.
Can you imagine they were selling Materba and, you know, and
Stranger things over have there. Happened.
Yeah, you know.
Stranger things have happened. You know, yeah, I've always been an Aldi fan. I mean, you know this about me. I've been going to Aldi for years, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah, it's a substantial, like, I can walk out of there with groceries for like 2 weeks and I've spent $45.
Right.
I mean, granted, I'm one person, but still. Yeah. So, okay, $45 right. for 2 weeks of groceries. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know? All right, so my last Kawi is going to someone who, I'm going to keep it short and sweet as usual, is going to somebody who probably has had a Kawi in his life. And I was thinking back, I'm like, have we given him our last Kawi or last soda in the past? And I don't recall. I'm going to give it to Marcelo.
Oh.
Marcelo Hernandez from Saturday Night Live.
But only indeed for us.
Only indeed for us. You know, look, we love a local boy that does good. I'm giving it to him for several reasons. Number one, because he keeps getting featured more and more on SNL, which is a good sign for him. But he's also, the more I look at him, the more I'm like, you know what? I know we say this a lot. It's like, I know this kid. I know him, right? And what I mean by that is I'm also seeing him, when we follow him on Instagram, turn his opportunity and run with it. Because it's not just that he's on SNL, which that alone would have been like, dude, you're on SNL, you're a comedian, you've quote unquote made it, right? But no, he's constantly touring the US. He's doing, you know, shows where he's touring with like Colin Jost. He's had a sponsorship deal now with Buchanan's. He just did another one. I think it was with T-Mobile. He has a sponsor. So and he's doing the T-Mobile one in Spanish. Mm. He is, to me, when I see him, the epitome of that kid who's like, dude, I've quote unquote made it, but this is not the end. And now, aprovecha todas las oportunidades que me dan. And that's what I mean when I say, like, I know this kid, right? He's us. Oh, we're in this, you know, our parents came to this country so we could get mejorad and blah, 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 blah. Okay, now I'm really going to just do everything that I possibly can. And he just seems like a cool kid, you know, and I got to say, as two Miami boys, you know, he reps us well, I think. The degree of authentic Latino content that has been on SNL since he started is clearly due to him, mm-hmm. because the people on SNL also write their own stuff, their own material.
And I think when you said authentic, that's the important keyword.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it doesn't come across as forced. It comes across as somebody who he is.
Because when he did that skit with my cousin, I mean, that was legit.
That was Usnavi and Yusleiki.
Yeah.
That's who they were, you know. They couldn't use those names on SNL because nobody would know what the hell was going on. But yeah, so Marcelo, you know, I give you our last Kawi. I think you've probably had a couple Kawis. I know for sure you've had a Jupiña. Don't lie. But dude, just keep repping.
And come to our show.
Yes, come to our show. Yes.
Anyway, that's a good one. Aldi and Marcelo Hernandez. Like, that's a good combo. Let's have Marcelo having a Kawi.
At an Aldi. Yes.
Yeah.
We'll interview him there.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. In 87 Coroway.
Ese mismo. No, that's the first one I went to and didn't cause a great impression on me.
Oh, that's the one I go to all the time.
I'm sure it's been remodeled.
Because it's right next to the gym. That's why I go there.
No. Anyway. Well, no, everybody, I hope you enjoyed our memory lane of discontinued snacks.
This was an interesting episode.
How many discontinued snacks have we not thought about?
More than I thought I would think about.
You know what snack is not discontinued that I totally love? That's Latin. I don't know if it's Cuban, but it's Latin. The ones that are the que rico, those little bites, those little...
The ones like at the register?
Yes.
Yeah.
Están los merenguitos, entonces the brown ones. That's like a little fried dough. Yes, so those little fried dough crispy thing with like brown sugar. That shit is good.
That is good.
Is that distributed here in Miami? I feel it is.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I can't imagine it's distributed out of like, you know, Wichita.
Right. So anyway, everybody, we hope you listened, laughed, and learned. As always, remember to grab your batidito, your croqueta, and your Kawi. And thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. See you next week.
All right, we're going to have a hand day. Bye. Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Llano, produced by Ismael Llano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michael Angelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.